Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is a portion of the Holy Gospel as read. Specifically, we want to begin this morning with verse 5. This is the word of the Lord. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again.'" Then they remembered his words. These are the words of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Please be seated. My dearest brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, why seek the living among the dead? Great question. What were the women doing early on that first day of the week? What did they expect to find? They were going to finish Jesus' hasty burial. They carried burial spices and oils. They were sensible and rational women. Yet they had forgotten about that heavy stone door. Now they may not have been as stylish as most, but these women knew. Oh, these women knew that a man cannot rise from the dead. But what did they find? An open, empty tomb. No Jesus. And then, suddenly, two men in dazzling clothes. These two men, angels of the Lord, they may have been totally unexpected, but their news, their good news, should not have been unexpected. He is not here. He is risen. Unusual, yes. Out of the ordinary, without a doubt. But it should not have been unexpected. Jesus had told his disciples and his company. He has told them three times in advance. And he hinted at it a few more times. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified. And on the third day, rise. He told them. He prepared them. He predicted it. Why didn't they believe him? Why don't we believe him? The women returned. They told the 11. No one believed them. These ladies were speaking idle talk. Today we would say they were talking like crazy people. Yet, Peter and John, they rose and ran to the tomb. They saw the empty tomb. They saw the burial clothes. Surely they wondered what had happened to Jesus. They, even the disciples, the one whom he loved, the one whom he called the rock, even they forgot. Even they did not remember. This gives the gospel according to Luke, which we have heard this morning, even a greater ring of genuineness and truth. The disciples did not expect to find an empty tomb. Despite what Jesus had told them over and over and over again. The women, they did not expect to find an empty tomb, even though Jesus had told them over and over and over again. Do you remember? Do you remember the test of a prophet? What a prophet predicts must come to pass 100%. That prophet, when he predicts and it comes true 100%, is a prophet that is reliable and true. That prophet is a prophet of God Almighty. But if not, if he or she is a false prophet, not a prophet of God, and what they predict does not come true, then you must never, ever, ever listen to them. A false prophet will always tell lies. And even worse, they tell these lies in the name of God. Our Lord Jesus, he predicted his death. He predicted his resurrection 3 times. Both happened 100% true. The word of the tomb is this, dear ones. He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he told you? The word of Jesus is justified. The word of Jesus is blameless. The word of Jesus is the truth, because he is the truth and he is the word. His word is truth. And this, dear one, is the linchpin of your faith. He was delivered up for our transgressions, and he was raised for our justification. Oh, yes, I know. There are always doubters, maybe even some here this morning. Not only did Thomas doubt, not only did those in Jerusalem doubt and in Rome doubt, but there are also doubters in Decatur and in Wilshire and in Rockford and in Wren, and yes, even here in Shum. Against the skeptics, St. Paul wrote this: "For I deliver to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas," that is Peter, "then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he also appeared to me." Paul then goes on to explain the what ifs. I know moms and dads, grandpa and grandmas, you hear this often. What if? What if? What if? What if Jesus is not raised from the dead? Then Paul's preaching, and the preaching you are hearing right now, is useless. As Shakespeare wrote in Macbeth, "Full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. Just hot air and wasted words." What if Jesus isn't raised from the dead? Then your faith and my faith and the faith of all Christians is useless and empty. If Jesus had not been raised from the dead, what you believe in is a nothing. There's no point. We are all lost in our trespasses and sin. What if Jesus had not been raised from the dead? Then Paul's witness and the witness of 500 additional people, 500 plus, may I add, they're all liars. Paul is a liar. Peter is a liar. John is a liar. James is a liar. Every eyewitness is a liar. And they lie in the name of God. What if Jesus is not raised from the dead? Then your trust in him is futile, and lost. And worse, as you have already heard, we are still in our trespasses and sin, without hope. What if Jesus had not been raised from the dead? Then all of those who have gone before us, the dear departed, those of your loved ones, your father, your mother, your husband, your wife, your children, buried across the Shum Road, they have gone before us, and all that they have done is futile and lost. They too are without hope, with no blessed assurance of a resurrection, no assurance of life eternal. My dear brothers and sisters, what if Jesus isn't raised from the dead? Then he himself cannot be trusted. His word cannot be trusted. His fulfillment of the Old Testament cannot be trusted. His guarantee of the apostolic word of the New Testament is empty talk, wishful thinking. It cannot be trusted. Then God himself is a liar. The message of the angels, though, the message of those two angels, they ring true across the centuries. And in our ears today, we hear their message. He is risen. Mary Magdalene and the other women saw and bore witness. Peter and John, they saw him and bore witness. The 11 in the upper room, they saw and bore witness. The two disciples on the road to Emmaus, they saw and bore witness. 500 men, women, and children, plus, they saw and bore witness. James the apostle saw and bore witness. And Paul himself saw Jesus. And he himself bears witness. All of them testify, many bearing witness, with their very lives as martyrs, killed because of their faith. They all died because of the fact, and the fact is, Jesus is raised from the dead. Oh, my friends, it's true. They could have saved themselves. Peter didn't have to be crucified. Bartholomew didn't have to be flayed to death. That is, have his skin cut off with a knife until he died. They could have simply saved their skin by saying simply that Jesus didn't rise from the dead. They could have saved their measly lives by taking the authorities to Jesus' dead body. The Romans and the Jewish authorities, the Pharisees of Israel, they could have put down this Jesus movement in a heartbeat by parading a rotting corpse through the streets of Jerusalem or through the streets of Rome. But they did not. They could not, because there is no corpse. Jesus rose on the third day, just as he promised. My brothers and sisters, you live in a very privileged time. You live in the last days of the old creation. You live in the time of the fulfillment. The work of saving this fallen world has been accomplished here at Golgotha. The new creation has dawned. The dead will be raised from the dead, for the first fruits has already been raised. As in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
His word is vindicated. You can be confident of your resurrection. As Jesus himself is raised from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity. The preaching that you hear is not in vain. Your faith is not in vain. Your sins are forgiven. There is hope in this life. There is hope in death. There is hope in eternal life. Hope with eternal life with God forever. Hope for this new creation. And it all hangs on three words. He is risen. Even the children proclaim it, and it's the truth. Therefore, dearest children of God, you have come a long way this Lenten journey. You have come through Holy Week. You have come to this bright and glorious day. You have heard the words of Jesus spoken to you. You have heard His forgiving word, His promising word of paradise, His faithful word spoken in His forsakenness, His compassionate word spoken to His mother and to the disciple whom He loved, His suffering word in His thirst, His dying words in committing His spirit to His Father, the remembering word of His Holy Supper that He has prepared today for each and every one of you, His fulfilling word of His mission, it is finished. And His restful word of His Sabbath. So finally, today, you have heard His vindicating word, His word of truth of His resurrection. Therefore, we say with Paul, rejoice, I say again, rejoice, dearly baptized. Remember what He told you. Remember His word of truth. He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Yes, He is risen indeed for the forgiveness of all of your sins and the blessed assurance of your life eternal with Him forever in His kingdom. This is His promise and His word. His word is true. Please rise for prayer. Let us pray. For your resurrection, for your appearances to the eyewitnesses, for your word, your baptism, your body and blood, your forgiveness, your life and salvation, for the sure hope of eternal life, and our resurrection, we give you thanks and praise. Most holy Jesus, in your name we pray. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.